Please enjoy this talk given at the Austin Center for Spiritual Living, where we live and teach the principles of science of mind and spirit. For more information, visit austincsl.org.
Richard, as many of you know, he has dedicated his life to helping people discover, develop, and express their innate potential for experiencing the fullness of life. There are many things, and you can read his bio in the bulletin, but I always like to introduce somebody as to how I know him. And I don't really know Reverend Richard. I've only met him a couple times at picnics, but I do know him because I've had the blessing of being part of this community for almost a year. And I know him through each of your eyes, your stories, as the love, as the support, as the minister he was to this community in his generosity and givingness for so many years. So with that, I introduce Reverend Richard.
Thank you. Wow, I ought to just leave it at that. I don't want to spoil it now. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here again. It's always kind of a surprise to me to look out and say, hey, I'm still doing this. You know, this is the first time in about a year that I've spoken to a group of any kind. So you can imagine the onslaught of talk that I've laid on my wife, and I apologize for that. Anyway, we're going to be talking about gratitude here today, and I'm going to be talking about gratitude, and the title of the talk, I think, is something like Gratitude and the Law of Attraction. It is the basis of the Law of Attraction. Truly being in a state of thanks, in a state of thanksgiving, that is, in a state of gratitude, it involves knowing what your priorities are in life and what's really important. And a lot of times we don't give this, I believe, enough attention. I can't help but remember one of my favorite actors from a few years back, I'm dating myself now, is George Raft. Any of you remember George Raft? Well, George Raft was a really well-known actor. He played the part of a real heavy back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And he lived until 1980. But at any rate, I really liked him. He made the comment one time when asked about his process in life. He says, I must have gone through $10 million in my career. Part I spent on gambling, part on booze, part on women, and the rest I spent foolishly. Now, this is a guy, he kind of had his priorities straight. We may not agree with him, and we may have different priorities, but he certainly had a pretty good idea of what was important to him. But he made his point, didn't he? And that is, we need to sit back at times, I think, and take a very, very careful look at what is a priority in our life, what is number one, and what may not be. I think of this whole business of Thanksgiving, and I think that's a priority in our lives, is to be able to be grateful for what life is all about, what we have, what we've experienced. Virtually everything that has come into the whole process of our flowing through this life experience. I came across a quote by Meister Eckhart. Some of you know Meister Eckhart as the 13th century mystic priest from France. He was German, but he lived in France. And he made this comment that I like very much. He says, if the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. Think about that. Because in saying thank you, you see, you're acknowledging the receipt of something that fills you in such a manner that you are grateful. And I've always liked that particular quotation of his. If the only prayer you ever said was, thank you, that's enough, folks. In saying thank you, in being grateful, I think we continue to keep the doors open for experiencing more. When we gripe, moan, and complain, That's a euphemism, by the way, Gritch. I'll get to that in just a little bit. I want to quote somebody else. This is a woman psychologist by the name of Sarah von Breathnach. I have three quotes by her. I'm going to give you two of them right away. She said, "The thing about gratitude that constantly amazes me is how fresh it is, how it is a moving attitude, not just passive. It's very passionate. It opens you up to the good that surrounds you. It's the most important thing about gratitude." That's the most important thing about gratitude. It's like opening the door and finding behind it treasures that you never even knew were there. It slows you down and stops your whining. You ever thought about how much our whining stands in the way of our being able to see the good of our life? Because when we're whining, we're always looking at something that is not pleasant to us, that we'd rather not have in our life. And in giving it our focus of attention, we tend to multiply it. It tends to be all that we really see. Another quotation here from this same woman. She said, "I woke up one day 11 years ago and I was sick of the sound of my own whining. I never complained to anyone else, but I did to myself. I just couldn't take it. And I told myself, sit down and don't get up until you give me 100 reasons why your life is perfect." 6 or 7 hours later, I'd done that, and it had already opened my eyes and continues to open my eyes, and my life has been changed ever since. When I read that, I thought about a friend of mine. From years ago, it wasn't too long after I got into the ministry, and we were in some kind of a class or process or whatever it was, and this suggestion was made to sit down, that we sit down and write out the things for which we are thankful. Take an hour or two to do it. And so he called me one day, and he says, "Let's go to lunch." He says, "I've been up all night." So we went to lunch, and he says, "Yeah, I've been up all night, and you know, I took the advice of our workshop facilitator to write down all the things for which I was in gratitude." He says, "I wrote all night, and I am so charged up. I have so much energy. I don't know what to do with it." He says, "It was so freeing and so enlightening to me." It's an amazing thing, the doors that we open when we are thankful for what we experience in life. And yet, we get into a habit sometimes. I know that I have been known to do that, where I complain, I moan, I groan, and what we attract to us, what we focus on. We find often that we'll find more and more to gritch, gripe, moan, and complain about. And the more that we complain, the more distraction we find in our life. It keeps us from the gifts that are there. But the more gratitude that we have, the less moaning, the less complaining, the most less discounting and griping about things, we tend to open ourselves to experience the possibilities and the opportunities that are around us. There's an old saying that I like very much, very simple. It says, "What we appreciate, appreciates." Isn't that neat? What we appreciate, it grows, and it continues to grow. So we have gratitude on the one hand, we have complaint on the other hand, and the choice is ours. Gratitude and appreciation, I believe, is one of the most transforming energies that there is, if we can activate it in our life. And to the degree that we do, there's a consequence of this process. It kind of opens us to the process of becoming aware of all that life holds for us. And then it allows us to acknowledge the gift. And as we acknowledge the gift or gifts, as the case may be, or the gift of the wholeness of life, if you want to look at it that way, we find that this is like activating the law of attraction. Now, we don't activate a law. A law just always is. But what we do is we activate something within us where we come in tune with a process that works according to its very nature. And the process, or the law, very simply, is like attracts like. We've all heard that, haven't we? Most of us not really thought a lot about it. Most of us, if we do, or many of us, don't want to believe it. I've heard it said that gratitude equals wealth. I came across that statement a while back. And you turn that around, wealth equals gratitude. They're identities, in a sense. It's a very simple statement. It's a profound statement. It's a difficult statement to accept. You look at the word wealth alone, and from the Middle English, and it literally means well-being. So in expressing gratitude, we're opening ourselves to the experience of well-being. By feeling more grateful, we feel more wealthy. Thereby, we attract more abundance into our lives, and we feel more gratitude. And it's kind of like a circular process, isn't it? If we feel negative, we feel disappointed, we feel antagonistic, and oftentimes it makes us feel even more negative, and we're more disappointed, more antagonistic, and what are we going to attract in our life? What we focus on. All we have to do is practice gratitude. So that's it, folks. That's the message. And you could go now, but not before the collection. But I do have a few more things to say. All we have to do is practice gratitude. There's two ways that I can think of practicing gratitude. There's what I call the ordinary way, and I'll talk about it in a moment. And then there is a more effective way. The effective way is based on the awareness of being. And it starts with the awareness of your being, your own existence. The ordinary way is one that we are all familiar with. It has to do with material things. The ordinary way spawns thoughts of material possessions, a place to live, your health, your family, your job, your friends, your skills, your talents, your vacations, your paycheck, and so on down the line. All of which are fine and wonderful. And I think we ought to have all that we need to satisfy those particular drives within us. The ordinary way. And of course, they're all deserving of gratitude. This, I think, is what we think of when we make a list of things. When we make a list of things, or the old saying, you know, count your blessings. A lot of times we don't realize the power in that. But the making of a list of things, just as I was telling you about the friend of mine who stayed up all night making a list of all of the things that he could think of, for which he was grateful. And there's nothing wrong with making a list of things that we have or we want. It can be a useful thing to do. I think it's a whole lot better than dwelling on lack and limitation and making our lists there, which many of us have done in the past. But there's a deeper kind of gratitude, this that I referred to as the effective way. Or it's the holistic way. It's a spiritual way, if you want to look at it that way. And this is the way that carries you beyond the material level in your gratitude practice. This is a place that is independent of any circumstances, any situations, any things, any people. It's not some mystical, mysterious, altered state of consciousness that you enter into and have great visions and are given insight about the directions you're supposed to go. It's a very simple, straightforward experience that many of us have. It's when we just sit back for a moment and open ourselves and say, I am available. I am here. Point the way for me. And know with confidence that there's going to be the inspiration that arises from within, and allow there to emerge the feelings for the flow of life itself and your recognition of being part of that continual unfoldment. We're all one with this process and let there come into your consciousness this gratitude for life itself, for everything that you experience, rather than a temporary emotional response. It instead is an underlying attitude that is based in a real appreciation for the existence of life itself. You know, I look at life and I think to myself, what are some of the things for which I feel grateful? And when I get started, it's hard to stop. What comes to mind immediately is one of the big ones for me, and that is the freedom of choice that I have. Do you realize what a gift that is? And you realize that in our society, our country, our part of the world, how that is supported within us to be able to express that gift of choice. This means we can look at opportunities and possibilities that maybe some peoples and in some times past, people have not had quite that opportunity. But we can always, regardless of what our circumstances are, we can always look at the possibilities and the opportunities, and we can hold them in mind. And we find that in doing that, we are drawn to those circumstances and situations that provide us the opportunity for expressing whatever those inner thrusts are that are working on us to be expressed in our life. The universe and the creation. Have you ever just sat back and be thankful for that? Your own consciousness, which is directly related to your freedom of choice. Your problems and your challenges. Have you ever noticed that the way that you tend to grow the most and oftentimes be able to expand into ways that you never thought of were possible before come about as a result of the problems and the challenges? And they give rise to stimulating your creativity to bring forth new ideas and new concepts. And I think the greatest thing for me when I think about the things for which I'm grateful is simply how great it is just to exist. Grateful for life itself. To be able to express in this life. Give something that's useful and satisfy myself in the process of being able to make a contribution. This is what I call the adventure of life. It's awakening to the adventure of life. It's a place where there are no attachments. It's totally independent of any circumstances, outcomes, results, or people. Totally independent of any things. And when we can begin to embrace that, what we find is that this leaves us free to love. And to love is to give of yourself in ways that continually unfold into greater expression of who you are, your talents, your gifts, your intelligence. This is what love is. Love is the self-giving that Ernest Holmes, our founder, defines divine love of as the self-givingness of spirit to its creation. So what is our individual love, if we want to make a little analogy here? It's the self-givingness, it's our givingness of our own self to the spirit of our life. The creation that we are part of. This is an incredible idea to me. That's what it is when it's really free, when we are really free to love. And the consequence of that is that we have a tendency to rise above fear and doubt and loss, and especially the fear of change. And an interesting thing happens, and this I think is a real key. the stuff of life becomes, we come to realize that the stuff of life becomes the result of our enjoyment of life. Not the other way around. Not the cause of our enjoyment. In other words, our enjoyment comes by being fully engaged in life. And so often, we have a tendency to feel that if I get all the stuff that I think is necessary, then I'm going to be okay, I'm going to feel good, I'm going to be happy. But it's not that way. If I be all the way that I possibly can, to give of myself, my talents, my skills, my ingenuity, my love, is to open my whole life to the experience of wonderful things that are going to show up for me and fill my life and experience with even more. And this all occurs when we arrive at that point where we realize that our gratitude is rooted in the whole awareness of our being. At the practical level, what this means is that my gratitude becomes more, as my gratitude becomes more unconditional, that is, unaffected by circumstances, places, and things around me, the more my life becomes open to the good that is there waiting to express in my experience. And that's the place where you find yourself seeking the kingdom out of which all other things are added. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that is the domain of the highest level of awareness, out of which everything else appears to you, out of which all other things enter into your life. This is where I think we really activate the law of attraction. I have one last quote that I want to leave with you from the same woman, Sarah von Breathnach. She says, both abundance and lack exist simultaneously in our lives as parallel realities. Think about that. Both abundance and lack are moving along parallel in our lives. And it's always our conscious choice, she says, which secret garden we will tend. When we choose not to focus on what is missing in our lives, but are grateful for the abundance that's present, that is tangible and intangible abundance, the wasteland of illusion falls away and we experience heaven on earth. Let's take a moment now to enter into some prayer, just to acknowledge the truth of the idea that we attract what we focus on. And know that there is one life. Only one life. There's only one thing. And everything that we see, everything that we experience, everything that we identify, everything that we think in some way or another is an expression of that one life individualized through each of us in various ways and other avenues of universal expression throughout the whole cosmic essence of things. There is one life, that life, we call it God, the infinite, the limitless intelligence, the boundless creativity, the overwhelming love. And I live and move and have my being within it, as does everyone here, everywhere. And the realization of that truth, the truth that God in me, as me, is me, there is never any doubt but that all is made available to me to express myself according to whatever the reason is that placed me here in this life experience. everything I need for the fullest expression of my life, for the contribution I'm here to make, for the expression and experience of love, is here right now. And out of that is the pure joy of existence. I am so grateful for the realization of this truth. I know that it is so. I accept it as so. And so it is.